Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to Fireshonks. Before we start, a quick block of announcements. You can send us questions, requests, or memes on Mastodon by posting with the hashtag Shonks23 and public visibility. You can send us questions on IRC in the channel Shonks23 on irc.hackint.org. We've got a social viewing experience in the aquarium on Jitsi. The link for to that can be found on fireshonks.org. We have a YouTube and a Twitch channel under the name Fireshonks, where we also have a live chat where you can ask questions that we will pass on to the speakers. Our main streaming platform is streaming.media.ccc.de, where we also have a relive where you can rewatch past talks in case you missed them. We're a bit difficult to find on 37C3. That's because we are about 30 kilometers under the parking garage. Please bring your own drill. We're happy to present the talk, Encapsulated Electromyography with Mayo and Raspi by C-Chen and Alex Leach. C-Chen is a hacker and CS person from Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute. They are now studying at the University of Maryland, where they are very good at computational text analysis and resuscitating abandonware. Alex Leach is an artist, educator, and technician. They currently serve as assistant director of the HCIM program at the University of Maryland, where they have taught courses on programming, interaction design, and fabrication since 2019. Their recent projects include interdisciplinary outdoor installations like Aqualith, a capacitive stone installation, and FiddleHex. Let's talk 10-year-old tech. The Mayo element was once a really strange way to control a computer and then became a way to do fine-grained myomuscular electrical detection research. This is a talk about how to hook a Mayo to a Raspberry Pi 3B in 2023, and from there, how to have the Almond communicate over serial to other devices.
Hello, welcome to my talk for Fireshonks 2023, Encapsulated Electromyography with Mayo and Raspi, pneumatic sculpture with invisible controls. This talk is brought to you by me, Alex Leach, the talking person, and my collaborator, C. Chen, who was the lead programmer on the project. So, introduction, who are we? C. Chen is a hacker and computer science person who is responsible for the Python script repair and the Mayo functionality on the Raspberry Pi. My name is Alex Leach. I am a sculptor and a human-computer interaction person. My job is to build actual sculptures that move, so I do the mechanical engineering, and to do the talking on the project, as well as to come up with some of the debugging for the scripts. We work together as a team to put this together in the fall of 2023. As you can see, it is a project that involves a lot of pneumatic balloons made of disposable objects. So, this is an emotive sculpture project. The goal of the project was to make the audience feel something, and the secondary goal of the project was to fix up some abandonware that we had wanted to work with for a while. So, I have had a Thalmic Mayo armband since 2014, when the project was still kicking and was still an independent project, and I wanted to see whether it could be put together so that it would fit in a small, beautiful display package. The actual sculpture was inspired by soft robotics and some artworks that elicit reactions from the audience. So there's a common thing in HCI where people are like, I want my project to make people feel something. I want them to laugh and be cheered up, or I want them to be, you know, I want to be able to discuss them. I can read an expression and show something that will change people's feelings. But we have a whole discipline that does that. It is called art. So that is what this sculpture is for. We wanted to do this by encapsulating some hardware in this small box you see here. So this box is laser cut and these parts are all made of disposable stuff in order to really emphasize the DIY or rapid prototyping approach to project production. And what we went with was again, Thalmic Mayo armband loaded onto a Raspberry Pi Model 3B Plus, and we wanted to work with this project called Programmable Air by a guy named Tinkermind at ITP NYU. So the Programmable Air project is part of a soft robotics prototyping toolkit, which can be used for things like grippers, or mostly grippers actually, vacuum holders, or also aesthetic devices, which is what we were interested in using it for. The key elements of this project, which is a kinetic sculpture, are that it is made of disposable elements or trash in order to capture that DIY rapid prototyping aesthetic. That means that it was designed around 3D printed parts that were intended to use bamboo skewers or coffee stir sticks or other types of common work in order to assemble a thing that was greater than the sum of its parts. This is also why we went with condoms, because when we were working with latex balloons, we found that they popped a lot, where condoms generally just do not break if you do not do something really absurd to them. They can stretch and then recover their shape really effectively. And they also work really nicely with themes of feeling or sensation, because their form obviously gets to mimic really organic shapes all the time. This was also inspired by the corpse flower, the Titan arum, which is a flower that blooms about once a year, and it smells very strongly of decay, compost, so we wanted to bring all those themes together to make a sculpture that both rose up and stretched towards the surface of the earth, or away from the surface of the earth, and then collapsed backwards in a really dramatic way, but without any visible interaction with the sculpture itself. We wanted to do this sort of off from to one side from the person who is performing the control of the sculpture. So in order to do that, we needed these controls to work pretty seamlessly. We needed them to work like magic. The idea was that when you did a gesture in the armband, the sculpture would respond with invisible or seamless controls. So we have pneumatic actuation within the actual sculpture when we fill it up with air using the programmable air. But the controls have to come in from somewhere else, and they have to be kind of hidden. The seamlessness contributes to the magical effect of suppressed infrastructure that's hidden under the surface of things. And in the meantime, the Arduino platform inside of the programmable air maintains peristalsis, which is an internal pressure for the breathing effect in the sculpture itself. We chose the Mayo armband because it did not seem to be a great choice. It had been sitting on the shelf. It has a lot of challenges. So a little bit about the Thalmic Mayo project. The Thalmic Mayo came out in and around 2014. It was out of Waterloo, Ontario. The company that put it together entirely on their own, in-house, which was exciting. At the time, a lot of people were prototyping hardware. And then the company got bought. It got bought by a company called Control Labs, and Control Labs got bought by Facebook/Meta, which means that you can now buy Mayo armbands, but there isn't a lot of support for the Mayo armband software packages that go with them. They're all pretty old. They're about 11 years old. They're not out of date exactly, but it can be tricky to find them. And with the internet being the way it is, there's no guarantee that that software is going to keep being reliable as we move forward into the future. So we thought that was an interesting opening for some hacking, or at least to figure out how people are working with this. The Programmable Air Prototyping Project by Tinkermind is great. So this is a little project for making sure that soft robots can get tested out in a reliable and consistent environment. It comes with two pumps, one for suck, one for blow. You can set it up to do valve controls and differential pressure controls. It has a little pressure sensor and an indicator as to whether to how intense the vacuum or the suction or the inflation is in the project, and three valves to be able to control three different ways of putting that pressure into a pneumatic system. And the thing is, this is actually great. It mostly just works straight out of the box. It works as depicted, although most of the examples are a little bit less well-maintained than one might want. I do not really feel the need to explain a Raspberry Pi Model 3B Plus to this audience, but in case you're wondering, we did have to go buy a bunch of new SD cards for it. It seems like the Raspberry Pi software needs a lot more than 4 gigs to run these days, which is nice for it, I think. So here are some caveats about working with a piece of abandoned hardware or semi-abandoned hardware or like hardware in some gentle forms of decay. The first thing is the Mayo has a lot of caveats to how it works. It takes a bunch of time to get used to what it is doing. It has to be plugged in to charge. It has to be unplugged to turn on. So in order to work with it, what you do is you plug it in, you plug the dongle in to whatever platform you're working with, then you unplug the Mayo from it and you leave the dongle plugged in, and then it can pair. The control code that you're working with, the Python control code, by default, the Mayo armband will lock up and stop receiving gesture inputs if you double tap. So you have to edit that out of any library you're working in order to make sure that your gestures don't accidentally turn it off. As mentioned, the Bluetooth dongle absolutely has to be plugged into whatever platform that you're working with. Otherwise, you will be reversing how to pair one of these to a main computer. It's simply much better to not lose that dongle to start with. And then the last one, which is really interesting. The Mayo stores all of its gestures on board, so all gesture registrations have to be pre-built in a Windows laptop with the abandoned Thalmic software, Thalmic Mayo Connect. This is important because the Mayo armband by default comes with a library that was tuned on some pretty beefy forearms, some large masculine dude's arms, and so if you have smaller arms or if you have much beefier forearms, your gestures won't register the same way into the Mayo armband. We also had some problems when we were using this for performance, where a differing stress level in the presenter would cause gestures to be recognized in different ways. So that was really interesting, and that was one of the caveats we found from working with it. It is still really reliable. I would rather use a Mayo armband than build my own gesture recognition armband. I do not really want to build my own electromyography project, and I think this is a good answer to that. The build quality on these is really solid. It's probably worth $150 to not have to build one yourself. But working with it is a really particular experience, and we probably could put more effort into making that work properly for the next time we worked with this. So how does it work? Once we turn that armband on, what are we actually doing? So over here we have the Mayo armband. It pairs through Bluetooth into the Raspberry Pi 3B Plus using our custom Mayo serial.py library that we wrote. We wrote a script to control it. The Raspberry Pi, once this is turned on, Mayo serial.py detects over the port 9600, over baud rate 9600, that the Arduino Nano is also turned on and listening. So all three of these things have to be listening on 9600. We tried listening on different bands, but it seems like the armband itself really prefers 9600 as a baud rate, and so it is best to simply set up whatever you're listening to over here so that everybody can listen on the same baud. Once it's turned on and going, this piece of Python scripting detects whether there is an Arduino Nano available, and then it will send the Arduino Nano poses that it hears from the Mayo armband as they come in. So the Mayo armband detects poses like fist or fingers spread or any of your gestures, and then it pushes those out over the serial port to the Nano, which is also listening on that band. What did we hack to make this work? So we did not write this code raw from scratch, although we kind of did. So my collaborator, C, wrote most of our scripts directly in the Raspberry Pi in order to make sure they were working using the Nano platform. There are other ways to do this, but it was ultimately simpler and somewhat easier, given the restricted number of USB ports available when the Mayo is plugged in, to do this directly inside of the system and then extract the code out afterwards. To figure out what we had to edit, we went really spelunking into the depths of the internet. We found a 6-year-old library called Raspberry Pi by Xiaofan on GitHub, which was based on Zoo's Mayo raw output work. Almost every piece of Mayo work that exists that is not based directly on Thalmic Labs' work is now based on Zoo's Mayo raw outputs. It's a very legible project, and I highly encourage you, if you want to work with this, to work with that directly. But we found it easier to consider what Xiaofan had done in order to put together a Mayo-based control for a Lego car, where it turned left and right. So by comparing the two libraries and reading them back, we were able to write our own to output something that would control a programmable air through the Raspberry Pi. We also had to go into the programmableair.h library because it automatically turns on port 115200 in order to listen on a serial port. So we had to remove all calls to the serial port from the base library in order to make sure things were normalized to 9600 baud on the serial port. I keep saying port because my usual job is just working with the internet, and it is difficult to remember which words to say when. So here we go, myoserial.py. We store the pose on the band itself. So this was the most interesting discovery, was that once the Mayo is properly tuned and calibrated, you can turn it off and leave it on a shelf for months, and it will keep those poses. It will keep what gestures it expects from your muscles and what those gestures turn into, and outputs them into a readable serial call. The Mayo raw also shows a baud rate of 9600 for serial communications. So this was an early block on working with all of these libraries together was they would turn on properly, but we couldn't figure out why they weren't talking to each other. And it was because their serial port preferences or their serial baud rate preferences were buried inside the libraries themselves. So a big piece of this kind of work is elevating connections that are hidden inside these libraries and outputting them properly. From there, we convert these in and out commands so that the Arduino, listening on that same baud rate, can translate them into an actual action. This was a major piece of work. Like, putting together MyoSerial, figuring this stuff out, was a pretty major and serious piece of work. And yet, it doesn't seem so serious when we talk about it. So here's a demo video of this working, and let me walk you through what is happening here. So here we have my collaborator C is spreading their fingers, which causes our robot to collapse in a really dramatic way. And then they're resting for a second, which kicks in the peristalsis, and then they're clenching their fist, at which point the robot comes up and becomes very buff and inflated and strains at the axis. They relax their fingers, and we can see the robot drops off again, just collapses again into a mass of sticks and condoms and nothing. And then as they relax, you can see the peristalsis kicking in, and then when they fist, you can see that that pops the robot back up again with the strain of the fist. So that seemed really aesthetically compelling. I thought that was a really big success. But the big trick is that this effect, this armband and gesture, can happen when the person isn't in frame with the robot. So they can be up to 30 feet away, which is very convenient when you're trying to put together stage effects or special effects or room scale effects or secret theater effects. You can have somebody who this band is tuned to controlling what's going on in the room kind of secretly, which is really helpful for parties or interesting installations in spaces where you want people to have a consistent interaction, but you don't necessarily trust that the audience themselves can fire that interaction consistently. This is a problem we see a lot in video games and in other kinds of public installations, which is that when people are trying to interact with devices, if we don't have the biggest, simplest button in the world on that device, they simply can't figure out how it works. So a lot of the kinetics just don't quite have that nice response to the human interest, where if you have a human controller who's doing something that doesn't seem obvious, it can really add to the magic or the implicit performance of what's happening. So people can see this robot, but they can't tell what is quite firing it off. And that sense that you don't quite know what's causing it makes it more interesting as you spend time with it. So, a little bit more about future work. What would we do in future with this project? So I think that the biggest thing is that we need to do a big write-up for the repository for the edited scripts and code, and maybe make it possible to work on a baud rate that is not 9600, which might or might not be programmed into the Mayo itself properly. Now that we have this device and the control system in place, one of the big weaknesses is just it takes almost a full second for the code to run through and to fire the new pose detection so we could speed it up. We might be able to hook this to a larger scale pneumatics project, which would be interesting to do as an installation in a physical space. That would be cool. And the big thing we found out is that the reason the Mayo armband isn't popular for this type of work is because it's not very good for this type of work. So it's good for some kinds of work, but not really for this, because although I don't love buttons for doing this type of installation, buttons are underrated because they are very consistent. If you toggle a switch and that switch does something, people have a lot of confidence that the switch is working, where the armband takes away a lot of that confidence, and it could add magic, but it's just not smooth enough to really have the same feeling of gesture control that people are now used to from things like capacitive touch screens or from actual click buttons. So thank you very much for coming to our talk, and we look forward to seeing you in the Jitsi chat for it later on. If you're interested in more things that we're working on, you can find us in the chat and we will give you some contact information. We also are both at the University of Maryland, College Park, so you can find us there if you are interested in talking to us more. Thank you very much. Have a great day.
So, welcome back. First of all, a bit of a dumb question, but why condoms? Seriously, why condoms?
Well, thank you so much for asking. It turns out that if you're prototyping pneumatics, you can do a lot worse than a condom. Usually pneumatics are prototyped with latex balloons, but latex balloons, people don't get angry when they break, whereas people get very angry really quickly if a condom breaks. So condoms are simply a lot tougher than latex balloons, which is useful if you're going to inflate them and deflate them. Latex balloons also need to be stretched before they will inflate, and they're not intended to deflate and then deflate again, whereas condoms are intended to remain stretchy for the entire duration of their life. So they have good shock control, they have a much tighter quality control, they're about the right size to build a small prototype with, and they're very affordable if you have a university health center nearby, which would like students to not get knocked up. So you can go get them pretty easily at like 8:30 p.m. on the night things do.
What kind of challenges do you encounter when you use condoms to build something like this?
Honestly, not many. So the trick is that if you have ones that are pre-lubricated, they are slippery. And that's annoying because they make things greasy, and greasy things get dirty faster. And so you want to make sure that you get the non-lubricated or less lubricated ones, which are usually done with cornstarch and water instead of with oils. Which is better if you're going to be working with 3D printed parts or wood, because the cornstarch and water will dry really beautifully and the condoms will still remain not sticky, but they won't be oily, which you would prefer.
So why did you decide to use an old device that relies on using abandonware to build this thing? Isn't there anything else to do the job apart from a Mayo?
There are buttons, and the sculpture piece we could control very easily with any kind of in or out button device. But the Mayo was the piece that made us interested in doing this work. It's got some nice things about it. One, it's a Bluetooth device. Two, as you saw in our video, it grants a layer of performance when you're controlling the robot. So you can do things like physical jokes. You make a fist, and the robot gets hard. You relax your hand, and the robot goes all to pieces and collapses in a really beautiful way. We also wanted to see if it was possible, because the Mayo armband has this weird position in prosthetics research where it is the standard for getting EMG information out of people's musculature that is perhaps no longer in the state that one might prefer their musculature to be in. So we wanted to see what it would take to work with a Mayo if we didn't have the backing of Meta or Control Labs or one of those things. What would it take to actually work with one of these armbands? And we thought that this was a good project opportunity to figure out not only how to work with one, but how to make one into a small desktop-sized package. So the actual robot is about this volume that I'm holding in my hands. It's about 5 inches on a side, or I guess that's 100 millimeters on a side, maybe 120. It's small. It sits on a desk really nicely. So if we were able to get a Mayo through a Raspberry Pi, it means that we could build quite a number of systems and have a distributed collection of robots around a space, which is good for interactions and for prop design, which could then be controlled by one person performing with their gestures. It makes for an interesting experience.
That does indeed sound like a really cool concept. So the Mayo, it still relies on abandoned Windows software. Do you intend on maybe working on that and reverse engineering further than the communication protocol?
We would like to. It's an open question whether it's worthwhile to do that or whether it would be more worthwhile to use a different EMG sensor that is already open. And which does not require that situation. So the two ways that could go would be to build a better encapsulation and a more reliable software environment for more open EMG sensors, as versus reversing the Mayo itself, which would probably involve buying a lot of Mayo and then cracking them open and then sticking them on a logic analyzer. Just because the Mayo does require that you use a Windows computer if you want to change the default configuration for what are called poses. So the Mayo armband has 6 pre-programmed poses, including fist, fingers spread, wave out, wave in, and double tap. I think there's one more that I've forgotten. Those are all predefined on board on the band. So if I make a fist, the Mayo can tell that I've done something that is like a fist. The reason that we would want to change that is because the Mayo was trained on some beefy dudes from Ontario. And honestly, if you're not a beefy dude from Ontario, it has a lot of trouble telling what you're doing with your hands. So my colleague is not a beefy Ontario man. And so we had some problems when we were presenting where like our nervous systems just run fast. And so the Mayo will record gestures in a kind of unreliable way if we don't custom calibrate it. So it would be advantageous to reverse it, and that might be fun. But it's for this particular project, we're mostly happy to identify that that would be a necessary step because that wasn't immediately clear when we opened it up.
One last question. So you currently using just normal white condoms. Did you consider using colored ones?
We did. We weren't able to find ones that weren't lubricated. Like the lubricant grease is actually a real problem because it means that you can't quite snap things into place. But I think for future work, it would be fun to put together a larger peristaltic collection of these. And maybe a physically larger one as well as more of them. And to make them very colorful indeed, because people responded so well to the condoms. We really weren't expecting that. We were expecting something else, I think.
I mean, having just like a room full of them in like different colors and different color combinations and responding to one person does sound really cool.
I just think it would be a fun art project, and sometimes what I want to do is a fun art project.
So, in terms of fun art projects, what's up next? Do you have any plans for any other cool art projects, maybe involving condoms?
Maybe involving condoms. Now that we've done this, we haven't quite discussed it yet, but there are a couple of paths we could go with it. One of them is we have actually built this maquette. So we could pitch this to a couple of the art parties that happen internationally and be like, let us build giant human scale condoms with vacuum cleaners behind them. And that might be an interesting idea. I do like building complex pneumatic sculptures. So we might do some more work with that and with the 3D printing compilation of bamboo skewers, sort of pieces of it. But at the moment, I think what we are mostly focusing on is both of us are PhD students and we are almost done our coursework. So I think we might shelve things for like 3 months and then look into either reversing more abandoned wear or coming up with new 3D printed shapes to force the pneumatics through to do soft gripping and to do other robotics.
Any other gadgets in your drawer that you're really itching to play around with but don't have the time to?
Yes. So there's also something called the Leap Motion, which was the precursor to Valve's Index system for their VR controls. And we think that that might be very promising for more pneumatic control work. I really want to shout out Tinkermind's programmable air system here. He only made 100 of those. He hand-built every one of them. But the programmable air pneumatic system is just so easy to work with, relatively speaking. It required one line of code change to its main library to work. And so it really opened up the possibility of making more of these gadgets. And so hooking a Leap Motion to it might be interesting because that does hand tracking. So you can mount it to your forehead or you can mount it to your chest piece. And you could do some fun things with like LEDs or with further pneumatic stuff on costuming. And so that's the thing that we're thinking of.
So you mount it to your forehead or your chest and it has like a camera and films your hands and then tries to detect.
Yeah, it's an IR sensor. Yes, it's like a little miniature LiDAR sensor. So the Leap Motion was a miniature LiDAR sensor that can detect, once it's been calibrated, where your hand position is. So it works like a Kinect, basically, like a camera.
Yeah.
But you could mount it here or you could mount it here. So early versions of the Oculus Quest system worked with the Leap Motion's technology and they would just glue one of these things to the outside of a VR headset so that the hands could be detected. And now, of course, all that technology is built into those headsets, like the cameras are built in so you can get prox detection. but the Leap Motion project still exists, which means that just the hand detection without the VR system is probably possible, which I think is interesting. I have some colleagues working with LiDAR as well, but I don't, because LiDAR is so useful, I don't find it as interesting.
So for Back to the Mayo, people are asking me whether you've played around with the calibration process. Like, what does it include? How much work is it? Is it even worth it to try and calibrate something, or have you not tried to do that?
We did two or three different custom calibrations, which doesn't sound like a lot, but I think that if somebody wants to hack on the Mayo, I honestly think that it should not stop you that it is supposed to be on a Windows machine or that you don't have Windows access. All of your work was done in Python on the Raspberry Pi directly from libraries that we found on the internet that aren't maintained, but also do not have, they have to be updated. And we have that those updates and we have to make the proper repository and publish it. But if you are competent at reading Python, the updates are not a huge time block. They're difficult, but they're not impossible. I'm not even going to say they're difficult. It's more like they're a pain in the ass, pardon my language, realistic. Yeah. And so if you get one of these devices, I think, and you are comfortable with Python and the Raspberry Pi environment, as long as you don't lose the Bluetooth dongle this thing wants to pair to, which comes with it, you probably are fine to just use the poses that are on board. Because a more interesting thing is that the Mayo does shoot off raw data for your muscles at all times. So if you were interested in doing custom calibration and you didn't want to use the Thalmic Labs software, it would probably make sense to take the 20 minutes to 2 days to write the calibration on yourself using the raw inputs from the Mayo, rather than worrying about using the Windows device, simply because the calibration process for Thalmic Labs is so weird already. And it's honestly just a timer that reads raw data while you're doing a pose. So like you would hold your fist like this and the Mayo spits a bunch of raw data back. And then the software averages that out so that it's like, on average, you're probably doing a fist and this electrical signal means that you're doing a fist. I don't think that it would be a problem to write that. The problem is getting it to upload to the device. And so that piece, I don't know how to do, but I also don't know if it's important, because once you've read that information, if you write the calibration, it could live on your laptop and take the raw information read and then output the pose from inside your laptop instead of from inside the armband. So it's convenient that the Mayo has five or six pre-programmed poses. If I were to do this on my own computer, I would probably write the calibration and keep it local so that I could back it up to GitHub and know that it was going to work, because that same raw data is very likely to be similar across EMG sensors. So then the work wouldn't necessarily go to waste if, for example, your irritable 14-year-old armband decided to stop charging one day.
Yeah.
That's a lot of talking.
You just mentioned that it's important to keep the dongle. If I lose the dongle, does the device just refuse to pair with any other Bluetooth dongle or onboard Bluetooth?
Technically, it shouldn't, but at the moment, ours is finicky. So the Bluetooth dongle is preferred because we believe that it uses private codes. We're not 100% on this, but we're pretty sure it uses keyed codes to pair to its own dongle. And so it is a Bluetooth device. It is using a Bluetooth communication pattern. But as I'm sure everyone here knows, Bluetooth isn't really a great standard because it's got like 17 to 20 different implementations. So we have not hunted around to make sure that it could pair directly to the Raspberry Pi. But in theory, it can just be paired to the Raspberry Pi. We didn't focus on that this year. And so actually, if we were to come back, that's a more likely thing for us to work on than reversing the hardware itself.
You mentioned that. Oh, sorry for interrupting you.
I interrupted you.
You mentioned that the Mayo is also used in biotech. Can you elaborate on that a bit? Have you done research into that?
No, we just know this because you are from a neuroscience background at Rensselaer, and you worked with this in their many terrifying labs. And so we'd heard of it being used in labs, and there's footage out there of it being used in labs, but neither of us have worked in labs where this armband is being used. We just know that it is because there's recent footage of it happening, and we recognize the device. So I believe that that is a good reason. I mean, it does just spit out raw muscle data. Like, you can just read it. Once it's paired, as long as you don't lose the dongle, it does just spit out raw muscle data. So, and the muscle data is, I mean, in as much as anything is accurate, TM, it is accurate. So my best answer is no, sorry.
Are there any open source or open hardware alternatives that you're aware of, or...
Yeah, there are a couple of them out of Ukraine, and they're available on one of Hackaday's purchasing subforums. There are a couple of ones that are available, and they are really interesting. Of course, Adafruit sells sticky pads that you can attach to as EMG sensors that feed through an open board. The reason we went for this one was because it's such a nice package. We wanted to double check that the hardware wasn't going to waste. But I think that there are other ways you could do this, and you could get a similar magic effect. I don't like using EMG pads. They're itchy.
Yeah.
Anyway, they stuck EMG. It's fine. I don't. Yeah. But yes, you could find open sensors.
I'd imagine that an EMG pad also leaves both a problem of cost and viability, because you can't wear the pad for too long, I'd imagine, and reusing them seems difficult or questionable at best.
Yeah, so it's really the thing that makes the Myo functional, and there is an open project. It costs about $50. I saw it on Hackaday the other day because it was proposed that we would maybe use that the other project. We wanted to use this because we wanted to see what the blockers were. Really, it was a curiosity. But the big thing the Myo offers is that it has I would have to look at a picture of it, but every one of those blocks on the Myo is itself an EMG sensor. So it just has a lot of sensors, and they appear to have done the work to make sure that each of those sensors is reading data in a clear way that outputs a number that is actually reflective of what the muscle is doing. Where the sensor packages we see online that are the open sensor packages cost less money because they only have one EMG sensor in them, and it's held on place by an elastic band. So the risk there is that if it's placed differently on your arm and it's not glued to your muscle, which is how the ones that you buy that are peel and stick stickers that have the wires on them, the risk is that it'll move around on your arm and it will take different readings for each position on your arm that it is. Where the Myo appears to, A of all, it holds itself in place like stink. It's really, 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 really good at that. And it doesn't shift or move around, but B of all, all of those sensors appear to work in concert to get you the muscle data out. And so that piece, I think, would be expensive to reproduce. I don't believe I could do it for less money than the cost of the actual armband as it was produced.
So it kind of fuses the data to get rid of that rotational variability.
Yeah, I think it just gives you really good clean output data. And if the labs that I've seen it attached to are the Media Lab's weird fancy new legs lab. And so I feel like if people who have the funding are using it, then it might be the thing to use. But that's just me being sneaky. I don't know if that's a real thing. Maybe I'm wrong. But I think that's probably the actual advantage of using this band, is that they did the noise leveling.
Yeah. I'm just going to check really quickly whether we have any other questions going on.
I'm watching.
I can't see any right now, but thank you very much for your talk. It was amazing. It was enjoyable. It was something really cool. Thank you for joining us today. So, on this channel, we will continue with Bringing the Hack Back into the Chaos by Daniel Maslovsky at 11 p.m. You can, as usual, send us requests, questions, or memes on Mastodon by using the hashtag Chance23. You can send us questions in the IRC channel on irc.hacken.org with the name Shonks23. We have a YouTube and a Twitch account at Fireshonks each, which also each have a chat that you can post your questions into. We will read and respond to them. We have a social viewing experience in the aquarium in the Jitsi. The link to that can be found in our InfoBeamer shortly. Our main streaming platform is streaming.media.ccc.de. We also have a ReLive set up there, so you can rewatch past talks that you've missed. That's this one. For everyone at 37C3, we're a bit hard to find. Ask the info desk if you need help.